That
Troy
was good.
Argos, Grey Cup champions. Never in doubt, Justin. Underdog, never heard of them. Against all odds, the boys are bringing home the trophy to the city of Toronto.
Against all odds, but all the time.
All the time.
Like they're
Who wants to be favored, honestly, at this point?
They can't lose in Grey Cups. They're actually like a fascinating
7-0.
Fascinating in the last seven games. Sports. It is a conundrum. It's conundrum-esque because, like, so I went back 25 years. They don't have a season better than 11-7, which in the Grey Cup in the CFL is like not that special. 11-7 is just like, okay, you might win the division, you might come second, you're going to playoffs, you might be okay. So they never ever put together like dominant seasons, and yet they've won a bunch since in those 25 years. Every time they go to the Grey Cup, they are underdogs, but they win every single time.
It's the recipe for success.
They go to the Grey Cup.
Don't waste your
season.
7 in a row. Save some, put some in the back pocket. Come in. The other team's sleeping on you. Win a Grey Cup like clockwork. That's how you do it. Other teams take note. Don't worry about winning when it doesn't matter. Win when it matters. Not that hard. Figure it out.
Well, what would you rather have? The team that is like kind of, you know, it's not the model franchise. Let's be honest. Toronto Argonauts, not like the greatest franchise on paper. Don't generally like, you know, there's struggles with, you know, attendance and interest and all
not
those things.
Not anymore.
Well, they've been in this
position
before. The website
crashed yesterday trying to get merchandise.
Really?
I might have been on that site.
That was your first move, eh?
I might have been there getting the
I don't know if that's like a
t-shirts.
It might not be a volume thing. That might be like a just infrastructure thing. Anyway. But what would you rather have? The team that treats you every now and then or the team that perennially underachieves? And I don't want to make this a Leaf discussion right away.
Interesting where you're going with that, Justin.
But I'm just saying that the Argos have treated their fans pretty good despite never really being all that good. They just surprise you every now and then. If they surprise you every now and then, it's like, okay, I'll take this championship every 4 or 5 years. That's fun. I think they're an interesting team. I think it's a pretty good situation to be in, honestly. It's like a little treat every now and then.
Especially because, unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of other big-name sports teams in this city. So, naturally, the Toronto Argonauts, which hopefully isn't going to be the case forever, are a little bit lower down the discussion board in the city. They're the team with the most recent championship, so they should be at the top of every one of our blocks. Until one of these teams does something else here.
They're definitely the winningest team in this city.
They are the winningest team in the city.
Without question.
Yesterday's game, though, an all-timer for the ages.
The most CFL game of all time.
I will say, I haven't indulged in too many CFL games over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, yesterday, must have been the best I've ever watched. The most chaotic. That's what you want in a championship. I don't want a snooze fest. Oh, walk away with it. Like, you're on the edge of your seat. Chaos. Sloppiness. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
I think the right word is wacky. And when
wacky.
The CFL at its best is kind of like a bizarro world NFL. Like, it's different. It's undeniably different. There are, like, rule differences and things like that that just make it very distinctly CFL. And when it gets... It's most CFL. It gets its most wacky. It is the best. I mean, we saw two blocked field goals in the final couple possessions there. There was only two blocked field goals all year in the CFL before that.
Really?
And they happen back to back, or they doubled it. So two in the regular season, two in the championship game. They doubled it in the championship game at the most key moments. Like
that's crazy.
The game's different if both of those results go the other way, right? So... It feels like those things start adding up. It just becomes weirder and weirder and weirder. And I think there was like a nice little poetic ending with Robbie Smith gets the face mask to keep it going, then blocks the
field
goal.
That face mask, I was stood up out of my couch. What the hell are you doing?
But it was so unnecessary, too. It's like all he had to do was just hug him.
It was so unnecessary.
And it's the game's done.
I was so pissed.
And that happens every now. That makes it a little bit more wacky.
There's so many little redemption narratives in the last 2 minutes of that game. It was and the
biggest,
overwhelming.
The biggest redemption narrative, I guess not even redemption narrative, but like kind of like poetic, is that the Argos coach, Ryan Dinwiddie, came in as a backup in a Grey Cup or in a big playoff situation back in 2009. I mean, that was actually very recent. He looks maybe a little older than he is. But I was a little surprised when I looked back and it's like, well, 2009.
Can I just say his eyes are piercing?
They are piercing.
No, it's like actually like alarming.
Alarming.
It's like, those kind of be contacts. He kind of looks like a wolf.
Yeah, he's got a little wolf.
That was just a side note that I wrote. Wolf eyes, question mark?
Anyway, he comes in. He was a backup and he didn't get it done. And then he wins his first Grey Cup. He needs his backup, Chad Kelly, to come
lead
the way. And he was, I think, 4 for 6, 43 yards, 23 yards on the ground. The key play was his run.
Swag
Kelly on, I believe it was second down. Anyway, it was a long conversion. And he just stepped in and got the job done. And it's a nice little, capper, nice little story, nice little final chapter, even though it's just the beginning of Ryan Dinwiddie's coaching career, that he couldn't quite get his first Grey Cup as a player, as a backup, but relied on his backup to get him his first Grey Cup as a coach.
Chad Kelly, I believe, is a backup dancer for NSYNC.
With the bleached hair, you have to at least consider that, yeah.
There's no way that guy doesn't dance somewhere on the weekends when he's not backing up as a quarterback.
Just because of the look?
The look. He's got the vibe. He's definitely in a boy band.
Because he doesn't have, I don't think he has boy band vibes. He has like maybe fake boy band vibes to me.
Yeah, that's why it's probably like at like.
Like he thinks he might be able to dance?
Wheat Chief in Toronto, not.
Wheat Chief. Okay.
It's a favorite of mine.
I mean, that's not where we're going on Wednesday, but.
No, we're not going there Wednesday. Anyway, just, it's crazy when you look at the last 2 minutes. You know those charts that say like win probability? It was probably like a
just
roller coaster.
Bouncing back and forth, yeah.
But it was a real feel-good moment, and I'm hopeful that everybody's waking up this morning in the city of Toronto, and then we're going to give the Argos some love and praise, and it starts with us as well. Is there going to be a parade? And when and how do we get there?
Nathan Phillips Squirrel will be bumping in a couple days,
yeah.
I assume. Our buddy Andrew Harris will be there.
Every time I saw Andrew Harris, I said, friend of the show, there he is.
He got it done with that two-headed monster behind the McLeod Bethel Thompson and Swag Kelly. But the thing that makes it the most CFL was the fact that there was a parking infraction involving
Tell us about the parking infraction.
I look at it like Randy Ambrosi, another one of our buddies, admitted it on stage, but that the Grey Cup had a tough time getting there.
Yeah, but then he didn't like elaborate, but I had known what you were talking about because he sent me a DM on
He should have been a little bit more specific because it's actually very funny. But apparently the Grey Cup was illegally parked. Whoever drove the Grey Cup in was one of those people that like takes up three spots, one of which is a handicap spot, like one of those, you know, you can insert your own description for them. Apparently they were, you know, similarly situated in the parking lot, got towed. So the Grey Cup was basically got, you know, thieved a little bit, like it was on its way
to like a parking infraction,
I guess. Have you ever got towed?
I have, and it was in New York City.
Sorry, what? How did you get towed in New York City?
They also have parking rules in New York City.
Well, I bet. But why are you driving in New York City?
I don't know.
You just like drove there?
Yeah, I drove there once.
Okay.
Because why are you so shocked
because
that
no
I would
one,
drive to New York
no,
City?
No one
I used to live in the
City.
United States. I drove
know, like,
to New York City, and my car got towed to the west side of the city, and I heel-toe expressed it across Manhattan to go get it.
That must have been a disaster.
At the DMV, like the real stories that people tell you about the DMV, that happened to me once. Anyway, I don't know what happens in Regina when your car gets towed. Does it go to like a farmer's lawn?
It's probably not as bad in Regina because I feel like it happens less, like less need for towing in Regina than New York and Toronto.
It just goes to like buddy's backyard.
It's probably in some sort of backyard. But anyway, I don't know if it made it. I don't know if anyone had to like scramble and actually go get their car.
Was there nobody there with
the
Grey Cup?
The Grey Cup did come back. Why did the Grey Cup stay in the vehicle either?
My second
like,
question is,
the
is
Grey
nobody
Cup arrives,
like protecting it?
You think, yeah. I mean, is there a keeper of the Grey Cup? You'd think that the Grey Cup would, okay, we have arrived. The Grey Cup's going to immediately go indoors.
The Grey Cup has arrived.
it was just hanging out in the trunk. and it left the stadium momentarily. But it did come back, and the Argos were able to lift it.
Amazing.
Larry Tannenbaum.
It's a great story,
able
Justin.
To lift it.
They kept showing him. And
Pinball Clemens, too.
I'm nervous.
Talk about 7-0 with the Argos. Pinball Clemens is 7-0 as coach, player, executive.
Mm-hmm. All he does is win.
When he gets to the Grey Cup, he doesn't lose. When the Argos get to the Grey Cup, they don't lose. It's a good trait to have. If you're going to have your best redeeming quality is we don't lose in championship games, that's pretty good.
What did you think of the halftime show?
It was an excuse to walk the dog.
It was pretty bad, eh?
But I knew I lost our bet because I started
three songs within 1 minute.
Then I returned with said dog, and it was still on. So I was like, oh, there's been multiple songs here.
It was tough.
I mean,
I don't mind. Like, I like country music. I don't mind the artist, but I just didn't think it didn't have any oomph to me. It was like, there's one stage down there on the field with like 30 girls around the guy.
Yeah.
That was strange.
Trying to look like they're really happy.
And I was watching. None of them knew the songs. They were like, do that, ooh, da, do, like, trying to lip sync.
I thought scatting down there?
Scatting. The artists are probably decent. Like, I think they're good. I've listened to all those songs. I knew them all. But it didn't have the halftime show to me.
I feel like country music might be a challenge live when it's really cold. No?
Why? Because they're not on a beach with their toes in the sand?
No, I think music is generally hard. Well, harder to perform if you're cold.
One half of the people that performed that night were lip-syncing. There's no doubt in my mind.
Who?
The opening act was just whatever their name was.
Okay, I did miss the first one.
I don't know who their name was, but they were lip-syncing. It was pretty bad.
I don't think the Florida Georgia Line guy was.
No, him and the guy down on the... him.
The
on
middle
the stage
guy was the best, I think.
Down on the stage?
Yeah.
See, we don't even know their names. That's the problem of the marketing of this.
I thought you would be. You were
country
music
guy. Anyway, I just think that could have been improved. But the best look was...
Well, I don't normally say things about the Arkells that are overly positive, but they were a lot better last
year. I was going to say, why were Arkells not performing?
Because they can't do it every year, I guess. And it wasn't in Hamilton.
Just get Shania Twain.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't get better than that. Didn't she enter on a sled? Like dogs bring her?
Was it dogs? She probably flew down from
the
heavens.
She was definitely coming in on a sled. I don't know if there were dogs at the helm, but...
The first thing I did when I started watching the game last night, they show the sideline of the Argos and that starter jacket. I immediately pull up Google and I go, Argos,
you like
jacket,
that, eh?
Coach, sideline, Grey Cup, enter, found it.
So is it,
it's like 260.
Is it fake vintage?
Yeah, it's fake vintage. They're
See,
for
I don't
sale.
Like, I don't like fake vintage. You can tell that's
those
fake vintage.
Were so hot.
Really?
Those jackets are chef's kiss.
I don't know.
Anyway, that was just side notes.
I feel like you can spot fake vintage, and that was fake vintage.
Well, it is
and you're
fake
like,
vintage.
Oh, well, that's not, you know, you're just trying to recreate something
that
was.
Yeah, but it looks good.
I don't know. I wouldn't spend that $260 if I were you.
No, it didn't. They didn't have my size.
$260?
I looked.
$260 is a lot.
Yeah, but I think it's a winter jacket.
It's a winter starter jacket?
Well, he was wearing it on the sideline of the Grey Cup.
Well, the other guy was wearing a sweater.
Yeah, that's true.
It actually wasn't that cold, surprisingly, for Regina. I think it was like only -1. It's like what it is here.
Anyway.
And that takes away from the Grey Cup a little bit for me. I like a little snow. I like when it's like real frigid.
Yeah, you like them to be suffering out there.
And then Randy Ambrosi, you know, God love him, but he's trying to move the Grey Cup back, so it's like getting out of the winter. Grey Cup should always be played in winter. And no, we're not going to BC Place with the, you know, the retractable roof. Like, we can't do that. The Grey Cup is one thing, and it is cold. And that wasn't cold enough.
I'll say one of the coolest traditions is that the cup is carried through the stands.
Very cool.
By the Royal Mounted Police, right? All the way down.
Yeah. Were there RCMP?
Yeah, that's who carries the trophy.
Yeah, you're right.
The keeper of the cup is the RCMP.
So what
I just think
was it like a police vehicle? Then what happened with the Grey Cup?
I don't know how it got abducted, but basically I just think that's a really cool tradition that they do that. And I always forget about it until I watch the Grey Cup and go, oh, yeah, they do that.
And that's really the beauty of the Grey Cup is the tradition.
It's for the people.
It is for the people. I think it's the most for the people championship game for sure.
Have you been to a Grey Cup?
I have. I went to
the one that was here.
Here with Ottawa and Calgary.
Was that 2019 or something?
Ottawa won in overtime.
2018.
I think it was 2019. 18 or 19.
I was there too.
It was very, very fun.
I didn't see you.
And it actually wasn't that cold. It was okay.
I was warmed from the inside.
Yeah. I mean, that probably helped both of us a little bit. But it was like, that was a legitimately fun game. And
it was a blast.
The game can be outstanding. I don't know if it was outstanding yesterday, but it was very, very good. It was a very good ending.
The first half of the game, I thought, okay.
The chaos kind of ruled the game a little bit. But you have to have a little bit of that chaos. I don't know if it was the most well-played game of all time, but that doesn't matter because the bounces went the Argos' way, and they came up with the blocked field goal at the right time. And they remain undefeated in these Grey Cups. They just dominate. Not undefeated all time, undefeated in recent history.
Mm-hmm. 7 in a row.
And they just continue to bring championships to the city. So shout out to the Toronto Argos.
The last thing on this before we touch on a humongous weekend. There's like 300 things in our doc to run down here.
It's argued like this is underrated, maybe one of the best weeks in sports. If you love a wide variety, if you appreciate things that aren't prime time, then it's one of the best weeks.
Okay, so you wrote that in our prep doc.
Well, let me run it down. World Cup.
Yeah.
We're going to have all day sports. Starting at 8 a.m. U.S. Thanksgiving is one of the top 5 days, sports days of the year. Mm-hmm. You've got the Grey Cup, and then you've got NBA and NHL, full throws of the seasons. Like, there's no, like, missing sports this week. It's nonstop.
Okay. So I agree that that's exciting. But then I went through and I looked at the end of June. This past year, NBA finals were on, NHL finals were on, MLB season had started, Wimbledon was going on, F1.
Wimbledon? No, Wimbledon's July, isn't it? Wimbledon's late June?
Wimbledon this year was June 27th.
Okay.
U.S. Open, golf. Spike ball.
See, I would have never went late June if you asked me this out of context. It would have been like early April, Masters, NHL.
Then I thought there's March Madness week where that's
March Madness.
There's, I don't know.
Early October.
The worst is obviously mid-August. There's nothing going on when we have to do mid-August. The fan morning show and talk about baseball for 3 hours.
Problem with late June is you're kind of like, you're a bit tired of it. You're like,
these are when the championships are happening.
It is, but, like, it's not normally when it happens. Like, normally the Stanley Cup Finals, early June.
Well, you know what? We just had, like, for the last month, there's like, 4 sports equinoxes.
Yeah.
Did you think that that was one of the best weeks of sport?
Yeah, and that's the early October where it's, you get the Leafs, or you get the NHL, NBAs. Maybe the NBA hasn't started yet, but you get October baseball. I don't know. This is like a very special one-off, though, because we don't normally have the Grey Cup. So this
is obviously elevates.
We just have this maybe it's novel. Like, it's completely new, and that's why I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Because we've never had a World Cup at this time before.
Speaking of the World Cup, shocking start to that Qatar game.
Yeah, good one for conspiracy theorists.
Wow. If you didn't catch the first, 3 minutes of the Qatar game yesterday?
Yeah, it was really early. It was inside 3 minutes, yeah.
Inside 3 minutes, already controversy and scandal. Shocking.
Now, I'm sure there'll be someone who will say,
I, for one, am shocked.
Oh, that was clearly offside. But what stinks the most about it is that they didn't show replays.
Yeah, because it's a scandal.
Exactly. So they didn't want to show it. They didn't even show like an actual replay of what had happened. They showed like a different angle of what could be the offside guy. Anyway, it was so bad. It was just like, oh, like, this is going to be the Grey Cup. Like, we should just bet on Qatar because this is like a Putin governmental game in Russia where it's just like you're just letting them get away with whatever they want.
3 minutes into the game.
But I will say that Qatari team isn't good enough to even, like, the strongest fix couldn't help them. They were awful.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They were so bad in that first half. I was like, it was actually more embarrassing than the offside call. How bad they played. Like, it could have been like, I don't know, like the Ecuadorian team could have like played the fourth or fifth best team in Ecuador, and it would probably be closer than that. It looked so bad. It was almost like Ecuador stopped playing in the second half to not, let's not get ourselves in trouble. Let's just get out of here with a 2-0 victory and make sure that we don't get, you know, any punishment here for embarrassing anyone. That's what it felt like to me.
And there were pre-game leading up to the tournament rumors that this first match is going to be fixed. I don't know if you saw them. I didn't want to bring them up on air because it was conspiracy.
That's always the World Cup thing is like, I don't know what the record is for the home team always plays in the first game. The home team always...
Qatar was the first host nation to ever lose the opening game.
Yeah, so it's it always seems like that team shouldn't win sometimes, but does.
First time ever.
Gets a better result. And then you're watching that, and you're like, oh, the same thing's happening. They're like giving a gift to the home team. This is part of the World Cup process, which is insane that this actually happens, but they weren't even good enough for that to help them.
It was brutal. But today is the real start of the World Cup. We'll have three games to tee up.
Usually later. Four. So we're still ramping up.
We're still tiptoeing into it.
But
I don't know. Three's
probably enough.
There's some good match today. As a reminder, we'll be at Cafe Diplomatico on Wednesday morning doing the show live on location from 6 to 10 a.m., putting in that extra hour of work. And should I just do a little news drop right now?
Sure.
Your complaints were heard because Ontario will allow bars and restaurants to start serving alcohol at 7 a.m. for the World Cup. We complained on our platform loud enough that the people that do those rules.
Why does it seem like this is always the process?
It's the radio hosts get on the radio. They complain.
Yeah, there's a little
someone's
Twitter
listening.
Chatter, radio chatter. Then someone for like a reputable newspaper writes an article. Then things change. It's like always the same thing. It's like, oh, we forgot to do that. Let's get some administrative work done.
John Tory to thank for this. I don't know how the rules work, but somebody lifted the rules. 7 a.m., baby. You can start your morning off right. We'll be at Cafe Diplomatico at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And we'll hang out there for a while, and we'd love to meet you and see you.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have to see what the game is that we'll be watching right after the show. But we can just like sit in the back and look at JD, and we'll be hammering beers while he has to be live on the radio, and he'll be probably pretty upset with that.
You're not telling me that he's not going to have something in his cup. Okay, so when we're there on location Wednesday morning, it's Morocco and Croatia at 5 a.m. So we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Important game for us.
Germany and Japan, 8 a.m.
Perfect.
Spain and Costa Rica, 11 a.m. And then, obviously, Belgium and Canada, 2 p.m.
That's a perfect day.
We're not moving from Cafe Dip all day.
We know I'm a suburbs guy now, but I got to be down. I'm playing a hockey game at Mattamy at 7 that night.
Oh, my God. You're not leaving.
So I'm not leaving. I'm all day. I might never leave my post at Cafe
Diplomatico
until about 5.
You're going to crawl over to Mattamy after.
And then I don't know how I'm going to possibly get home. But
all right.
We'll figure it out.
So much to set up. That was a tease at Wednesday. We'll give you more information as the week goes on. Okay, so Leafs and Raptors both played. Let's start with Leafs. In their reverse retro threads, which I must say I think should just be the staple.
I think they're nicer than their regular jerseys.
They're much nicer than the regular jerseys.
I don't know what it is. Is it the second...
The white
stripe?
Shoulders. It's the second stripe.
I think
looks
it's the
so
second
much better.
Stripe at the bottom of the jersey is like the big difference.
It looks intentional. Like, oh, there's a stripe.
There's only
there.
One stripe on the regular jersey, right?
Sure. I think it's thicker, at least.
Whatever it is, it looks different at the bottom. Looks better. I think the blue is a little bit better too.
The blue is crisper. I held it in my hands. I wore it on my body.
Yes.
There's a little bit of a tinge. I don't know the RGB. You know the when you select colors when you're using a little color palette. There's a little bit more of something. It just pops.
Yeah, it pops a little bit more. It's a little bluer. It's a truer blue.
It's a
blue.
Little bluer.
A
and
truer blue?
The logo is a nice felt with the nice vintagey leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And the white shoulder pads.
Now, I wasn't so crazy about when I first saw it, but I feel like with all
them.
These, you have to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really good on them.
Very and it nice worked. Jersey. They won in their most decisive win of the season against a team that is...
Quickly stolen the jerseys. Why is it always reverse retro? Like, why can't we just make nice jerseys?
What?
Like, reverse retro implies that it has to be a different color scheme and a retro jersey. Like, why are the only jerseys they make in the NHL reverse retro jerseys? This is like 3 years running.
I don't know.
Like, why don't we just make, hey, this is our new jersey this year. It doesn't have to be reverse
retro. Talk
to
Batman.
Anyway, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Leafs, for the first time in a while, I think, dominated a crappy team.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's a big thing.
It kind of sucks that Buffalo's crappy now, but I think you're right.
That was their, eighth loss in a row mm-hmm. for Buffalo. Traditionally, the Maple Leafs...
I mean, they're usually crappy, but
right.
I thought they were...
But they had a really hot start. Yeah. Tage Thompson was, going to win the heart. They were on a pretty bad losing streak coming in. Traditionally, you might have thought maybe the Leafs see this game, let their foot off the gas a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they played a pretty hard game. They looked... United, the stars have been stars. Matt Murray's looked excellent in his return. I think this is a big flip in Leafs land in terms of how we're talking about this team in the last 2 weeks than the start of the season.
I think my take from the weekend, because you're right, it was just them beating a bad team, and what is there to take from that other than, okay, Matt Murray still looks good. Mm-hmm. I think my take from the weekend is like, okay, we've officially settled down mm-hmm. after the first month where things were a little crazy.
We were never crazy. We're so level-headed.
Yeah. I actually I don't even want to ask Frank about that because he was like the only one on this radio station.
Yeah, he's like, can you guys relax? I'm like, Frank, now, sell the team.
Now he looks like the smart guy that he is. I think it's just we've gotten now into a comfort zone. That's what it feels like to me. Mm-hmm. The Leafs have entered the comfort zone of the season. And I think that's like a good thing and a bad thing. It's a bad thing because the comfort zone is, hey, well, you're second best in the division again, maybe. And it's Tampa Bay again, that's third best, mm-hmm. which means you might be playing each other again. And that's not exactly a comforting comfort zone. But I think the comfort zone is that they're good. They're really good. They're going to win more often than not. But they might not be President's Trophy good or division winning good, but they're really, really good. And I feel like it could be a little boring. It could be like last year where it's like, oh, they just find
Nothing
ways to win all
the
time.
The playoffs.
They're still going to lose games. They're not. I think they're going to play 650 hockey the rest of the way or 625 hockey, which is really good, but you're not at the very upper echelon because you run into the Devils and you're 50-50 with the Devils, mm-hmm. but you beat the Sabres. I feel like they're going to get into this trend where it's like, okay, more often than not, they're going to look good. And more often than not, there might not be that much to say, but the whole conversation now for the rest of the year, now it's not like, okay, the sky is falling, is how are we going to improve this team and what does the postseason situation look like? And unfortunately, we look like we're headed towards the same thing we were at last year with the postseason. And I wonder if that changes the way they approach things. Like, I feel like it's got to be desperate measures. I feel like it's got to be, hey, let's burn the boats here because we've got the Lightning waiting for us.
I love
and then
that
after
you know
that,
the burn the
we've
boats
got the
thing.
Bruins after that. Like, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can't get complacent. They've got to try to improve this team.
Burn the boats was one of my team slogans 1 year, so I always feel
it's
a little personal when you say
isn't it.
That? Yeah. Well, we
I don't
did
think
it
they
first.
Use it anymore. You did it before the Toronto Maple Leafs?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so Leafs 1 point in at least the last 9 of their 10 games.
That's settling. Yeah,
we
that's
have
settled.
Gotten down
that's
into,
settled.
Back
that's
down a, to earth.
Frankly, that's elite. It's just not Bruins elite. Bruins set a record, by the way, for most wins to start a season on home ice.
Bruins are
11 in a row.
A wagon.
Yeah.
Okay, so feeling good about Matt Murray. Keefe said something that was basically what I wanted to hear that is working with this team. Quote, I thought our goaltending was elite. I can tell you, being behind the bench, he gives our team tremendous confidence.
I think that's another piece here.
That's
okay,
huge.
I agree with that. I think that they do... extract confidence from him. However, I think they've reached the point where it doesn't even really matter who's in net for prolonged stretches, that they're going to be unaffected by the play of their
I hope so.
Like,
because well, Sjogren
they played well
similarly.
With Sjogren.
Yep.
Sjogren obviously didn't, you know, meet the standard that Murray has here, mm-hmm. but he gave them a chance to win. They won games with him. They're going to win games with Samsonov in net. They're going to win games with Matt Murray in net as long as he is in the net. I feel like they're kind of at the point where they're not going to live and die by their goaltending. But if Matt Murray plays that way, then they're in the best position to actually have success when it matters the most. And goaltending has been part of the issue when it matters the most. So if we're thinking about the playoffs already, which I think we can, I think it feels imperative that Murray's the guy. Mm-hmm. And that means, how do we get to the finish line with him? It means, does it mean load management? Does it mean 50-50 split? Does it mean getting even more help, getting a third goaltender in here just
to
play if
you need to. I'd
love to
know when Samsonov is going to make his return.
Exactly. I just think you can't overcook Murray here early. So let's just not expect the world from him right away, but just be really, really encouraged by what we've seen so far.
And you mentioned Frank. We're going to have him at 7 o'clock. He did write an article recently since we last spoke, 6 potential trades to replace Jake Muzzin. Still a looming decision down the road. What the Maple Leafs will do with that, we'll ask him at 7 o'clock.
And I will say, based on that, it's none of them scream burn the boats. Mm-hmm. None of them scream, like, this is our all-in move. This is our Anthopoulos move. This is our white whale move. Whatever it is. Like, it doesn't scream that. These are guys that are mostly available because they're pending on restricted free agents with the exception of one. And I don't know if any of them are needle movers, but that just might be the reality that the Maple Leafs are in right now. But again, I think you might have to aim higher. There is one big name on that list, but we'll get to it with him.
Stay tuned. Okay, Raptors also had a performance, to say the least, on Saturday night against the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
God, dramatic, heartbreaking loss in OT. You did all of that. You had this game. You put up good performances with half of your team on the bench or in the stands mm-hmm. or on the IR, and you lose in a brain fart.
Yeah, you just let your foot off the gas for a second.
It was embarrassing to lose a game like that.
I mean, it was a great play by them. It shouldn't have happened.
Don't give them any credit. It was brutal.
Was it brutal?
I think it was brutal. A massive defensive blip with seconds, milliseconds.
Did they literally just lose track of AJ Griffin?
I wish I could tell you what happened there.
Or did they think they couldn't get down there in time? I don't know.
That they just didn't even think. That's what I think.
And I guess that's kind of acceptable in that, like,
why are you making excuses for the Toronto Raptors?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But I don't think it's... I feel like it's a... Well, is it a Nick Nurse mistake or a player's mistake?
Well, who am I, an analyst?
Well, yeah.
Can it not be both?
I guess it can, but like, if you're out of position, maybe a player made the mistake. Maybe Nick Nurse made the mistake. But the fact of the matter is, when you're starting Juancho Hernan Gomez,
you're exacting your
bench, and you're playing into overtime against a Hawks team that's full strength, and you're giving it every last second...
You didn't give it every last second. You missed that one last second.
Every last second of regulation plus every last second with the exception of three or four in overtime. Like, I can understand why you take your foot off the gas for a second after you just grinded your way back in to get it into a double overtime.
But it wasn't even that, because Scottie had a chance. He missed a guaranteed layup at the end of regulation. They couldn't...
I think that is more of a...
Okay.
That's a gaffe. Not more of a gaffe, but it's a gaffe.
They couldn't protect an 8-point... edge with 2 minutes left. They had free throws in overtime. They melted down. They missed the pass. Like, there was more than just that tiny 1 second issue at the end of the game. They had an opportunity to win the game a few mm-hmm. times and they didn't.
Definitely.
Okay, but on the other side, yes, we can give them credit. Like, Scottie had probably one of his best games of the season until that point. So there's process. There's something we looked for. He came and he delivered with nobody in the lineup. That's what we had asked for the last 2 weeks, is can Scottie come in and do something? And he did. But yeah, the depleted Raptors, we'll say, lost to a team with most of their starters, et cetera. But I'm sorry that I don't love the
gaffe. I mean, I don't love it either. I don't love it either. I'm just like, this team is going to lose games more often than not with the lineup that they're putting out there, especially against the Hawks team.
120 to 110.
Would you have, though?
Yes.
Like, they just played really, really well. Like, they give you, that was like Argos in the Grey Cup level performance in that they are the underdogs. They were the underdogs, but they gutted it out. Like, I just think there's good things to take. It's obviously the loss is the loss. But if we're looking about like things that actually mm-hmm. matter moving forward, Scottie getting on track, roles for a lot of guys, and you just immediately improving dramatically when you invite anyone back into the lineup. Again, it hasn't been a great start for them. What, 9-8? They got to get going here a little bit.
Well, health would be nice.
Health is imperative, yeah.
How about Trey coming by the bench after they won, doing the little bench wave, like mocking them?
I missed that.
I'm like, buddy, you just beat a team that was basically the Raptors 9-5, and you had to go into the dying seconds of overtime with basically your full roster.
And it was like 9-5 plus Siakam the first time they played each other. And so I think the Raptors won by like 40.
I just don't really like him.
I got a soft spot for Trae Young. I don't know why I like him.
But you were like a big fan of the Hawks this morning.
How am I a big fan of the Hawks?
Well, you like Trae Young. Send in your wake and rakes, everybody. Gotta get back on track here. At 590,
you didn't have to say it. We could, like, a couple days, you erase the memory of Friday night. But, yeah, it was another bad one.
Wake and Rake, 590. We've got a full jam-packed show. We got Frank Saravalli. We got DeVang. We got Ross Tucker. We got the Wake and Rake to close things out. We got winners and losers as well. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to do the A-list. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin and Ailish, happy Monday. I'm wearing my Argos t-shirt today. I don't see you supporting them whatsoever. You know who the bigger fan is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. If you want to be the bigger Argo fan.
You know what? You actually can never Argo wear fan. Any team merchandise. I don't think I've ever seen you wear one item to support a team.
I don't think I have any.
You wear gray, black,
I might mix in a hat.
Dark green.
You got to buy me a Marley's hat. That hasn't happened yet. I'm not sure why.
I don't remember that.
Wow. It's been requested.
All right. The A-list.
Now, it's time for
hey, yo.
The A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
So we can all agree that Qatar is day one already looking like even more of a disaster than we had thought.
Is it?
It's getting worse, and y'all.
Just because of the offside? Or
no,
something else?
Just like you see the people in the fan villages living in yurts, and there's no beer, and human... Civil rights issues, yes.
Yurts and beer go hand in hand. But, can't have a yurt without
you can't,
beer.
You can't. Argentina, though, they're finding a way around the situation at hand.
Okay.
They brought, and this is confirmed information, 6,000 pounds of meat to Qatar so they can cook out together.
Nice.
Their traditional beef barbecues and Argentina.
How much meat?
6,000 pounds okay. of meat.
Sounds they're like, expecting a long run.
6,000. First of all, how
sounds
do they
like
stay? No, it sounds like I'm gonna say it sounds like a Justin Cuthbert weekend on the couch.
Yum yum yum. Okay, I thought you were going a different direction there.
No, 6,000 pounds of meat. First of all, I'm not quite sure how they keep it from spoiling. I don't know the fridge freezer situation. I don't know how you store 6,000 pounds of meat. I actually don't know what 6,000 pounds of meat look like.
How do you transport 6,000 pounds of meat?
That's heavy. Like, is that not 6 tons?
6,000 pounds? I don't know. You're jamming me up again. It may be. Either way, it's a lot.
Yeah, I was right.
Okay, so 6 tons of meat, which I like 6,000 pounds. Actually, maybe 6 tons sounds more. Anyway, I don't know how they got the meat there.
Do you think they had their own chartered plane of meat?
It seems unnecessary.
Well, no, this is part of their
like they have
culture
to, they
and they hired a chef and
they have to celebrate these moments like this.
6,000 pounds of meat.
I feel like you need some beers to offset the amount of meat consumption going on.
It's a lot of meat.
So do we know like what like is it just like, you know,
generic meat.
Grilled meat. Do we know how Argentinians eat their meat?
Cooked.
I'd assume. Maybe not fully through. Maybe they like it raw.
All right, just something to chew on.
Not great Canadian meats.
No.
Great Argentinian.
Great Argentinian.
Tinian? Yeah.
Meats. Okay.
Shout out to them. They're making it happen.
Shout out to them. Good for meat.
They're going to need it. They might be there until the very end.
The Sacramento Kings have found a way to change the entire trajectory of their careers and their lives and their organizational hopes and dreams.
Okay.
With a beam. Have you seen the beam?
No.
Light the beam. The beam is now probably my favorite thing in sports.
Okay. Tell me about the beam.
So they've been a pretty brutal franchise. And for the past 10 years, they've just had a...
They'd kill for an 11-7 Argo-like record.
Would they ever? 16 straight seasons without a postseason appearance. Everybody laughs at the Sacramento Kings. It's understandably. They've gone 9-2 this year since they ignited the very first victory beam.
Okay.
So there is a beam that shoots out from the top of the arena into the sky.
From the top of the arena into the sky.
From the top of the arena into the sky.
So this is a beam.
It's a beam of light. And they light it up. It's the King's victory beam. And since then, they've gone 9-2. And they've changed the community of the Sacramento Kings fan base, which didn't really exist and now does. It's absolutely
stunning. They've rallied around this beam.
They have. And even like the players, the coaches are all in it.
Did someone like install this beam? Like, why
it just
was
kind
there...
of happened. Somebody decided
someone just
that
got
this
on
was
the
a
roof
thing.
And threw a beam up there.
It's now the most important good luck charm in the history of sports. And they're all rallying around it too. Like, it's become part of their culture. It's kind of like Bing Bong. Hold
it's kind of Kings like
Bing Bong-y.
Is it?
Yes.
It feels fitting that the Sacramento Kings, who again, you've laid it out, are essentially the most irrelevant franchise out there, that their rallying point is as dull as a beam.
God, I was like really liking the beam.
Are you going to have a Kings retro fit?
I might. So,
big Kings fan over here.
Originally when it happened, nobody really
knew. To the beam.
Nobody really knew what was going on. Now all the players, all the coaching staff, the organization, the fans are obsessed with the beam. There's light the beam chants during the game. When they're winning and they're closing it out, it's light the beam. Coaches and players are being asked about it post-game. Actually, head coach Mike Brown, listen to how happy he is about the beam. Here's the quote.
The light the beam thing. It's kind of like some of Vivek's sayings that he has told me already. You know, I thought it was corny at first. I was like, light the beam, what? But it is really freaking cool. I love it. I'm still trying to see if I can see it out in El Dorado Hills. We got to get a stronger beam so I can see it from my back porch before I go to bed. But wow, it's a really, really, really neat but simple idea, and it's catchy. I saw something where TD lit the beam the other day, and I was like, man, that is absolutely the coolest thing in the world for it to happen. So whoever did it, Matina, you need to give whoever's idea it was, please give them a raise or at least 2 weeks off, one of the two.
The coolest thing ever.
The beam. So the beam does light up? Like, is it like wrapped in Christmas lights? Like, how is the beam?
Do you not understand?
No, I don't.
It's a beam of light.
Oh, I thought it was like a pole.
Are you good? It's a beam of light into the sky.
You never said beam of light.
A beam of light into the sky.
You said a beam.
Okay, well, a beam of light.
Let me look up the definition of a beam right now.
A beam of light into the sky. Like when Batman does the bat thing and you see the Batman logo in the sky.
A beam is a long, sturdy piece of squared timber or metal. I thought it was a piece of metal.
Oh, my God. It's a beam of light, Justin. They light the beam up. And you can see it from all over. And everyone's light the beam.
You can't light a beam of light. The beam of light is lit.
I said the sky many times. I'm very confused on how you missed that.
I thought they had like a pole erected into the sky above the arena. And like they wrapped Christmas lights or somehow had like an LED situation. I didn't know it was a beam of light.
All right.
Well, again, then Mike Brown.
Yes.
He's right. They need a stronger beam if everyone in the city is going to see it. Like a faint beam. It's not going to get done.
Last one here. We're going to move off of that. It was embarrassing. Bills community. Let me just say, you're looking for a fan base. Move over, Sacramento Kings. You'll never be like my Buffalo Bills fan base.
Wait, you're just burying them right away?
I am burying them in the snow. I'm burying the Sacramento Kings fan base in the snow that the Bills mafia dug out for their players for hours and hours and hours on hand, shoveling this snowmageddon thunder snow for their players to get out of the city of Buffalo and go to Detroit and lay down the law once again with a massive win.
Did they lay down the law?
Doesn't matter. A win's a win. The city of good neighbors. That's what it's like to be a fan base. When you come out with shovels, you get your kids thrown on their parkas, everyone's going to work to get your Bills to the game. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, there's nothing better than Bills fans.
See, what I don't really get about this, though, is they decided the game was being played in
Detroit.
The whole
logistic of this is terrible.
And then you're digging people out, like, the next day? Like, if there was an issue,
they should have been on the plane already.
Go to Detroit.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I think there was, I totally agreed. As a planner, I said, why are you not there yet? Why are you waiting? You know that the storm is coming.
Yeah, let's wait till we get dumped
like,
on.
They're not sure if they're going to make it or not. Well, if you would left 2 days ago. Anyway.
Yeah, like, 4 hours earlier, you wouldn't have had this problem.
If you've seen any of the videos, it's beautiful. All the Buffalo Bills fans with their snow plows and snow blowers.
Yeah.
The people that actually use shovels, the authentic shovelers, they're there just thought it was really a wonderful sign of community in these trying times.
Trying times. The thunder snow. The trying times of thunder snow.
I will also say, I know that I think the Bills are less like private about where they live, but now everybody knows where, like, oh, I was shoveling snow at Josh Allen's lawn. He lives on 43rd corner of this and that in Allentown.
There's probably a million people outside trying to shovel his driveway.
Oh, yeah. They're hoping for tickets.
Special teamers got to dig themselves out.
That's right. Anyway, Bills fans, absolutely the best.
You got to split time now because we got to do a little soccer report here in the morning. This soccer report is brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTeed Pro all the way. World Cup slate is a good one to really kick things off here. We got England and Iran at 8, so we'll be getting a little bet in on there, I think, before that starts. Senegal and the Netherlands at 11, USA and Wales at 2 p.m. So intrigue all the way through today. But the big news over the weekend is that Alphonso Davies said in an interview that he's ready to start and play the World Cup opener Wednesday versus Belgium.
Yes.
A sigh of relief with Fonzie.
I still don't like all these little head games. Like,
I think this is all smoke and mirrors. I think this is all misdirection.
Well, yeah, it's annoying.
I think he's playing. I think Eustachio's playing. I think they're all playing. I think they're trying to play some head games. I don't know really how much it matters with Belgium. Are they going to be like, oh, okay, I've got to, you know, adjust my tactics. I think you're ready for Alphonso Davies because he's the one player who can really make things difficult on you. But anyway, John Herbin's playing a little, hopefully playing some mind games. Hopefully we see Davies. We'll take him at his word. Hopefully we see Canada's full starting lineup for the opener on Wednesday. But the big news is that Davies has deemed himself ready to rock. And this soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed. Pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way.
You're getting lit up in the text line again.
You literally never
lit
said.
Lit up like the beam.
You never said.
Justin. Everybody here says it was pretty clear it was a beam of light. She mentioned the sky. She mentioned the beam. You are a moron.
Beams can't be sent into the sky? Beams are literally vertical pieces of either wood or metal.
Let me just read you a couple.
They go to the sky.
This might be worse than the horse, almost. Jay from Hamilton. LOL, Justin. It's Monday morning. Come on, Justin. It's early, I guess. Chad from Peterborough. Tyler from Scarborough/Norfolk. Well, I did think you said bean that whole time, so I feel you, Justin. Bean with an N. Wrapped Christmas lights or something. LMAO. That was pretty good. Same guy that thought it's over for a horse once it lays down. Anton from Barrie. Pretty clear it was a beam of light. Wake up, Justin. She mentioned the sky many times. Also, we are both put into the moron category because apparently 6,000 pounds of meat is actually 3 tons. So I didn't have my meat calculator fired up this morning.
I would have never figured that one out.
Wow, Justin is kind of slow. Rob from Bradford.
You never said a beam of light.
An interesting little tidbit. A ton is actually 2,000 pounds, so it's 3 tons of meat. Mike from Assiniboia. Justin, 6,000.
You're just emptying the text line clip right now.
Justin, 6,000 pounds is 3 tons, not six. Anyway, it's 3 tons of meat, everybody. And Justin, okay, it's a beam of light into the sky.
So we're both morons, but if there's a take home, if it's a, you know, there's different types of beams. If it's a beam of light, let me know.
Well, I'm going to talk about the beam until the Sacramento Kings fall off this hot streak. So maybe I'll put them in my wake and rake. Send that in at 590-590. We're going to take a break. Talk to Frank Saravelli after the break on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish and the Beam of Light, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.